So, good afternoon, everyone. Hopefully, we didn't catch you in a food coma after lunch. My name is Anir Sumar. I'm a regional team leader with Concurrency and IT Architect, as well as a Microsoft MVP. My day-to-day responsibilities are working with System Center and all the System Center components. And today, we are very happy to present to you automation of the private cloud and self-service recovery through Data Protection Manager 2012 R2. So I have two other esteemed colleagues here with me that I'll introduce themselves.
Hi, everyone. My name is Islam Goma, if they want to flip. I'm a system architect at Kivutu Solutions, and I'm also MVP. As Anur said, and we couldn't change the slides to R2 because we have been working under the NDA. So, but we're covering a lot of stuff in R2. We are also joined by Nila. Nila?
Thank you, Islam. Hi, I'm Nila Shankoli, Senior Program Manager at Microsoft and the DPM team. Now, we want to make this an intimate session since we have a good group here. So if you guys do have questions, feel free to ask them. We also want to ensure that we want to get through all the content that we have and the demonstrations that we have. Our goal is to be demo heavy the whole way through. And then have you guys ask questions either towards the end or if there's a small, quick question that we can get around to that's hyper-technical or, just an overview session that we can kind of get around to, we'll get to that. So
I believe actually three of us will be downstairs also on the expert area. So feel free to come to ask us any question.
Thank you.
That's it.
So today we are going to show you how to deploy a DPM with just a few clicks and also how do you customize your backup environment using the Server System Center products. Also, we're going to look at how the rich application backup and private cloud backup capabilities that you have helping in particular data center environments. Finally, we are going to look at how Windows Azure Backup Service provides. So here, the data, as you can see on the website pane,
DPM can be completely virtual, meaning that your VHD can be become a storage for the DPM, and DPM will still be able to leverage that as a storage. And we can use the synthetic fiber channel support, which will be your tape backup solution. Also, DPM can leverage SQL cluster as its backend DB, meaning that you have a high available solution for your SQL DB that DPM is leveraging. Also, last but not the least, you can use the VMM service template to deploy a DPM with just a few clicks. And Anu, Islam is going to show you a demo on this one. Islam.
Thanks, Nila. So as Nila mentioned now, actually, a DPM team has done a lot of achievement last year. And today, actually, I'm saying that we, with a 64-node Hyper-V cluster, we're able to use multiple DPM servers to protect all the load. So with the current now, with service, with 2012, we are not able to do that. However, with the new release, we'll be able to protect over for almost 4,000 VMs on a one big cluster with 64 nodes. So let's see how we're going to do that. So can anyone attend today the keynotes? I believe actually keynotes, they have been talking about VMM R2. So this is actually the interface for VMM R2. Same knowledge that you guys have today from VMM 2012, same concept that we'll be using here. DPM team today have created DPM service template. Let me show you this. So I will start off first by saying, actually, I would like to configure a deployment. And I will call this actually to be my DPM server. This DPM server that will be fully virtualized, capable to use the VHD and VHDX as VHD. So I'll say teched DPM2, and I hit OK. The template will open. I will require to enter some parameters for myself here to, in order to deploy this. So we had a lot of complaints from users that say, actually, I need to, when I deploy my DPM server, I go through a lot of clicks. Today, that actually can be automated. So I'll be provisioning my DPM server today using the service, the virtual machine manager template. And once I hit OK, it will go and deploy my DPM server. Once my DPM server today will be deployed, I'll be able to take this to production. I'll start protecting servers. Let's see how I'm going to do that. So the first input here that I need to do is I need to enter my virtual machine manager database name, then the instance. Same thing for reporting services and reporting server instance. Then I need to put my username as administrator. This will be encrypted as well. Just need to refresh to get the resource right. Awesome. Then, as soon as I say deploy services, the machine will start to deploy. So now, this machine will go and it will be deployed on my cluster environment. So I'll go now and show you how we'll be able to use this DPM2 in order and put it within my environment in order to come in and help DPM1 in protecting my cluster. So I believe everyone today know how can he deploy how can he configure a protected server manually, right? So you guys, you know the command was actually set DPM server, right? Set DPM server, it's an old command that everyone knows that actually you can use it today to connect your machine, or actually a protected machine, to DPM server. So my cluster today comprised from two nodes, cluster one and one and two. So what I'm going to do is, let me put this bigger here. Because I'll be able to, can you see this? Can you see this? Right. So the new actually one having here, we have actually the switch name minus add. And minus add will be, and actually, I'll add, it means that actually I'll add another server to protect the cluster environment. So in my case, because actually DPM, tech add DPM2, I'll put set DPM, minus add minus DPM server name, take add two, and hit enter. Wait for this to be done. Same for the for node 2. This is actually all the command has been successfully done. The only thing that I'm missing is to attach DPM2 to my nodes. So I'll go to DPM2. Go to management. Go to install and say attach. I believe everyone knows this now, that actually you can actually use config man and do what I have done, right, and deploy your nodes as you want and just attach them manually from here. Next. Right. So this is actually just the node one. This node two. This is. You know what the password? What's your name? Was IDC. This is the username so far, the password known. On Zex. Zex. So far, this is the same knowledge for you guys that actually have been acquired in 2012 and 2012 service web run, right? Hopefully that will go through. Attach. So until this is done, let me walk you through DPM1 and show what we have there. So in DPM1, if I go to protection, I'll see that actually now I'm protecting the Linux machine that Nita was talking about, actually, that now are able to protect Linux data or Linux virtual machines. So it actually is this actually machine. It's actually hosted in a cluster on node 1. So from what I'm going to do is I have already a machine, Linux 2, that's already protected, that is already hosted on node 2. I'm going to start creating another protection group and back up this from DPM2. So I go to protection, go to new, go next, go servers, and now I see both nodes, and I'll be able to protect, again, my same cluster, right, the same cluster with two different DPM servers. So I already have DPM Linux 1 is already protected. I'll protect Linux 3. Next. Say next, set everything. Same knowledge that you guys know now, same as it was. I can actually run custodial check if I want. Next, and create. So far, this is what I've been doing now. We have actually been able to, with two DPM servers, I'm able to protect my big cluster. Before, that wasn't actually happening because DPM has a capability limitation with 80 terabytes and so on, right? With 4,000 VMs on a cluster, I'm able to protect them with multiple DPM server. Good? No applause for me? What is this? All right. This time I didn't get a big applause. What's the second one? All right. So Nita was talking about Linux. And I will show you today, while actually I am pinging, I'm working on Linux machine, I'd be able to run a recovery point for my Linux machines that I'm already protecting this on DPM1. I'll be able to do my work on the Linux machine with no pause. Before, DPM is always go on pause the state of the machine, snapshot it, then back it up. Now we don't need to do that. Let's see how we're going to do that. So I'll go to DBM1, go to protection group. I'm going to go here, right click, and I say create recovery point. Hit OK. Then go to monitoring. See 0 byte here. Hopefully I'll be able to open this machine side by side, right? So I'll go to my cluster node 1, right? So I do clear for this, right? From here, I'll be able to go and keep doing a continuous ping to hotmail.com and show the ping will keep running while actually the data will be, while the machine is getting protected. So this is ping, ping, ping. Looks like the DBM is so efficient. Right. So this is, I'm still running. Can actually, I'm still pinging. NANAC's still happening. Machine is not paused. I'm still running. Hopefully, I'll see sometime soon data got transferred to DPM. In my opinion, and I should say this, long time ago with SCOM, we have seen about 80% of Linux administrators use SCOM to monitor the Linux. I'm seeing this today going to be happening with DPM R2, like 80% of the administrator running on Hyper-V, you'll get actually DPM protecting their stuff. Now, I'm done with my demos. Let me go slides. So far, I did show you how VMM server can deploy DPM server on Hyper-V. Right? You can very much today, once this product gets released, you can leverage the use of this using Orchestrator and VMM. Right? I did show you today how it actually was Linux, we're able to, with DPM today, we're able to back up Linux machines. And if you are running now in a heterogeneous environment, you actually can have one single place you can back up your workload with. Right? And for now, I'm going to leave the stage and give it to Neela. He will take it to the next step, the cloud. Neela.
Thank you, Islam.
No problem.
So as a next step into our 2012 R2, we enhanced the Windows Azure backup capabilities. We are now officially integrated into Azure portal, meaning that you can manage your Azure IaaS VMs in the Azure portal. You can manage your virtual networks. You can manage your backup also there. You can look at the data that is being backed up to Azure under the same Azure portal. You can look at those data sources as well. Also, we enhanced the Expressful technology to backup to Azure, which meaning that your backups are efficient to Azure portal as well. Also, we can protect SQL, file server, and Hyper-V workloads to Azure. And last but not the least, this is you will get a single bill for all of your Azure consumption. You don't need to manage multiple accounts, multiple bills, nothing. It's under the single console. And now Anur is going to show you a demo on how this Azure backup works and what all the things we need to do. And Anur?
So we started the journey with, you know, going over each one of these backup steps and kind of trying to enable this private cloud notion for automation, right? So our goal has been so far to take each one of these key examples or each one of the key technologies that have been improved upon in R2 and build everything under the hood in this entire session so that once we're done building it under the hood, that we can create automations around it. The last piece of this is showcasing how we can leverage DPM 2012 R2 to be able to back up to Windows Azure. Now, how many of you guys are backing up to Azure today? Okay, you don't count. But the presenter doesn't count. But from the audience, we don't see many people backing up to Azure. Now, how many of you guys like tape backup? Okay, presenter again doesn't count. So for tape backup and for being able to take your offsite storage to Azure is a really, really, really big improvement from what I've seen. And I'm going to show you exactly how to configure that, the key areas that you'll need to configure to be able to enable those capabilities, and then move into the automation and the self-service pieces. So starting off with configuring Windows Azure Backup, you go ahead and you sign in online if you already have an Azure account or if you have a trial account, and you come into the management layer to configure and press the configuration button to configure the settings for Windows Azure subscription. So over here I have a proxy setting. Granted, I don't have a proxy in here, so I'm going to choose the next step. But I can start to throttle between work hours and between non-work hours for deploying out or for pushing my offsite VMs off to Azure, for my backups to go to Azure. So on my work hours, I say I want, you know, just 256, and for my non-work hours, I want it to be a better or bigger bandwidth that I can consume. I can move into the recovery settings and the encryption settings, and then talk about, and then fill in my configuration for the subscription, and then I can finish that setting. So we've already had one that's set up here. Now that I've connected my on-premise solution, which is backup to disk or, you know, backup to disk so that it can back up to the cloud, I want to now start protecting in my VMs or my virtual workload from disk to cloud. So I'm going to create a new protection group. I'm going to back up a virtual machine, which is a server. And I want to back up the virtual machine so that I can not only take the virtual machine that's on-prem, but take it from on-prem to the cloud. So I'm going to choose one of the VMs. I'm going to call this TechEd Online Protection. So I have short-term recovery to disk and then long-term recovery to cloud. So my retention goal for on-prem is going to be 5 days, or I'll actually shrink that down to 2 days, so that anytime I want to recover a virtual machine that's on-prem, I can recover that within 2 days, and then the rest of my virtual machine backup can go straight to the cloud from there. Automatically grow the volumes. I'll say go over the network now and run a consistency check. And now I have the ability to protect it online to Azure. So once I go ahead and I choose that, this is where I define my retention. So I have 2 days on-prem. I probably want 20, 30 days, 2 years, 60 days, whatever my retention period is for offsite backup. The same kind of retention period you'd store for tapes. You'd actually put that in here for offsite backup to the cloud. So I'll leave that at 7. And then I'll create a protection group. So this virtual machine now is being backed up to disk and will move itself to the cloud for protection. Good stuff? Something you guys find beneficial? Awesome. So this was the final step of the manual pieces, right? Because as DPM administrators or as backup administrators, a lot of times we feel the burden of, you know, developers coming in here, the infrastructure folks saying, all right, hey, I need you to get this VM in. I need you to back this up. I have this compliance policy. This retention needs to be this, X, Y, Z. And I see some of you guys shaking your heads like, yeah, that's my day-to-day job. That's what happens. Self-service ends up becoming a really, really big notion, and along with automation. How many of you guys in your environments today actually use self-service backup and recovery for users, administrators, compliance people to be able to self-service and opt in for automated backup or opt out for, you know, or opt in for recovery? Speaker doesn't count. Okay, so I think this is going to be an extremely valuable demonstration for you where we're going to actually start to do the automation pieces of the presentation. So we've gone under the hood. We went into deploying a virtual machine through Service Template. We've gone in and how these components come together. Now what we're going to do is all the little plumbing and the little things that were there, like getting the water to be able to get consumed from your house. So like you have plumbing, you have those pipes that go into the ground, also that you can come into that kitchen so that you can turn the faucet on and off so that you can consume water, right? So the capabilities that you're going to do with self-service is it'll allow you to be able to consume backups and recovery as a service so that you can allow your end users or your compliance department or your developers or the people that are asking these VMs to be provisioned to opt in for backup, to automatically backup, to backup with the retention policies that are necessary for them, or recover and restore the virtual machines or applications that are deemed necessary by them so that you don't have to do it. Okay? With that said, oh, look at that. That's not my background. With that said, I'm going to go into, yeah, fine, that's my background, I admit it. I'm going to go into Orchestrator. Now, Orchestrator is the fundamental technology that allowed me to automate the capabilities that I just did, right? So we built the VM, we built the capabilities for cross-cluster backup. Now I want to take that information, all the different relevant pieces of information, and put them in an automated set so that I can continuously, I can repeat this over and over and over. So what I've done is more of like IRR, right? Which is the terminology that people use or executives use for innovate the process, reduce it, and then repeat it over and over and over so that automation will allow these services to take over the operational responsibility so that you can do more technical or more architectural responsibilities around data protection. So in here, the key questions that I have is this, in the small demo is, you know, the host server, the protection group name, the virtual machine name, and Orchestrator. How many of you guys are familiar with Orchestrator? Okay, good. So Orchestrator is like a runbook engine. It allows you to be able to take different activities or different icons, kind of like Visio, and I call this like the Pinocchio the Pinocchio effect, right? Where you drag and drop objects in Visio and then, you know, you press play and they all come to life, right? But behind each object, you have something that's loaded that allows you to translate it into an automation. So we're going to initialize the data as a part of the automation. We're going to create the virtual machine, which every time a VM is created, you have to add it to backup policies, et cetera, and add the agent and all those other things that are associated with it. So those are the key things that are repeated that can be automated. I want it to grab the data source. And the type of protection that the developer or the project is requesting automatically gets allocated to it based on the questions that are being asked. So let's see that in action. What I have on this demonstration is Service Manager. Service Manager has two key interfaces. One is for the admin layer, the other one is for the end user layer. So the end user consumes that as self-service. So we have self-service provisioning. I'm going to go into this portal, and I'm going to say I want a new virtual machine. And this is all for the under-the-hood processes that we went through earlier today for automating the private cloud pieces. This is all coming together now so that it can get consumed for self-service. So I'll say I want a virtual machine, and I'll call it Linux 47. No, I'm not 47, so. And I'll choose the host that I want it to go on, and I'll choose the type of protection that I want. Now, if you're deploying it to, you know, a dev environment, you're like, who needs backup? I want no protection, that's fine. But if you have different types of protection needs, like for silver protection, for example, would be to tape, or gold protection would be to disk and tape, or platinum protection in this scenario would be disk to cloud. So I want to choose it so that it can go from disk to cloud, because that's the scenario we've been playing out throughout this session. I'll choose next and submit. And once I submit this, everything that I've shown in the Orchestrator workflow should start running. So in my Hyper-V environment, since I chose it on node 1, in my Hyper-V environment, I don't have any virtual machines called Linux 47 here, right? Verified? Okay. So all the key pieces of information that I plugged in to Service Manager will then translate line for line into Orchestrator for each one of the answers that were there. And you saw this thing just start, and this will start to create this virtual machine, protect it with the policies that I asked for it to be protected with, and then deploy that backup agent or put it on so that I can protect SQL, same way, I can protect SharePoint, Exchange workloads, VM workloads, whatever I have, whatever I'm requesting to be delivered can get protected in an automated way through self-service. Same thing for recovery. So if I want to recover, I have a different runbook here that'll allow me to consume the recovery process too without me having to, as the administrator, having to go and do this, right? So let's go take a look at this. And you guys now see Linux 47 appear, which automatically populated. And then, it's always great to see your demos work, right? And then, I'm gonna look in DPM, and DPM is now creating, is gonna start creating a protection group in here for Linux 47. Once Linux 47 starts coming in here, that replica is gonna become consistent on disk and then move itself to for online protection. Now that I've taken that automation process for backup, for server deployment, for Exchange deployment, for SQL services, for whatever I have, that'll allow the person that's requesting not only the virtual machine or that process to go in and say, this is what I want for a deployment perspective, but also opt in for backup and then even have real self-service recovery in the process. Cool stuff? Would this be beneficial for you guys in your environment? Awesome. So as this is provisioning, once this process completes, we'll show you the backup process as this goes in, and I'll hand it back over to Nila.
Thank you, Anur. Great demo. We have an excellent demo here. Just to look at what did we do, okay, let me go to the one that we have here. So just to show you, Anur just demoed a situation where you have a service manager. He's leveraging the orchestrator runbooks, and he's talking to the VMM and deploying a VM on here, and he's talking to the data protection manager to protect your VM. So it's completely automated. Your application administrator want to deploy a VM. He can say, I want a backup like this. And as a backup administrator, you don't need to be involved. Your responsibility is just to manage the DPM servers and make sure that they're running fine. All the requests of backing up or recovery, everything is taken care of here with as a service capability, right? So to summarize, we looked at various rich capabilities that DPM has. You talk about SQL, SharePoint, Exchange, all these backup all the application backup capabilities. Also, we looked at how the private cloud deployments are protected well by the DPM server. We looked at how the scale and reliability aspects of a DPM server, and we looked at various demos. We saw that, you know, we have scenario where our cluster is growing up, one DPM server is not able to protect it, we are deploying another DPM server protecting these clusters and be able to expand them. Also, we saw a demo where we took the backup data to Azure, and which is now integrated into Azure Service Portal. That's another offsite backup capability. And also, we provided a backup as a service where, you know, your application administrator not only is asking for a VM, but he's also asking for a backup capabilities, which you are saying, you know, gold, platinum, silver, and you pick up any of those things, and everything is automatically done. Also, Anur has shown you there is a runbook for recovery, which is also a service inside the service manager portal. And these are all well integrated into service. You can use all the system center products come together into this to get these things done. So, any questions? This is what we have.
You have a question?
Question so far?
Yes.
Would you mind use the mic, please?
How do you take the consistent backup of Linux virtual machines?
Okay, so we just built a technology where we are delivering some software components to the Linux kernel, and using that, our Hyper-V VSS writer is able to call the components inside it, which is actually doing all the plumbing, and be able to get that consistency. It's like we are replicating what is Windows as a VSS technology, we are replicating to the Linux VMs.
And what is the Linux flavor you are protecting, SUSE or RHEL? Or
it should be working with all the flavors once we get these things tied up together. We are trying to deliver to the kernel, so it should be working on all the distributions. But we are not there yet, right? We are just building as we are doing. So we'll get the more details out there on how to incorporate there.
To protect a single cluster with multiple DPM servers, do the hosts need to run server 2012 R2?
No, Windows 2012 will work fine.
But you can't run Windows 2008 R2?
No, Windows 2008 R2, no.
Okay.
And you can use the SP1, System Center SP1 itself to leverage the scale-out architecture. So you don't need to upgrade to R2 to get all of these features. It's there in the SP1 itself. And
so
Windows
the switch that I did show you today, the minus ad, exists on the service pack one bits.
Okay. And to install DPM 2012 R2, do you have to run Windows Server 2012 R2?
Not necessary. It should work on Windows 2012 as well.
Yes, you have a question?
Yes, sure. Could you come to this so that we can see that? Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Let me go first. Okay. I'm still running DPM in the old way. I'm thinking about virtualizing DPM and then using, I still have an old tape loader, but I want to utilize that. How do you provision your virtual DPM server to utilize the auto tape loader?
Oh, okay. I guess I did not mention that. There is a synthetic fiber channel technology that is introduced in the Windows 2012, and we leverage that and we still be able to back up to your tape.
Okay.
So that's still possible to do.
Yes. With R2, is there any improvement on the 9,000 snapshot limit?
So your question is about how many snapshots can DPM do and are we expanding it?
Right.
With R2, we are not expanding that limit.
Okay.
It's still the same limits still apply.
Is there any, is R2 going to allow us to back up to a, like a SIF share instead of attached storage or VTL?
Okay, can you repeat the question again?
Today, DPM is backing up. You're limited to like a VTL or direct attached storage, SAN, or something.
Right.
Is there an option in R2 to back it up to like a SIFS volume or SMB volume?
Ah, okay. Yes. One of the capabilities that you have here is that the DPM server can become virtual, which means that your Hyper-V over SMB will be your remote SMB, where your VM is running on, let's say, node 1, and its storage is coming from the remote SMB, but still DPM is itself still leveraging it as a direct attached storage, but its actual platform is giving you that capability. So to answer your question, yes, you can leverage that, but you are using the Hyper-V to do the plumbing work.
Okay, so if we have a dedicated physical hardware, then we couldn't do that.
That is correct, yes.
Okay.
You can get the remote SMB, leverage the remote SMB, let the Hyper-V put the point to that share, remote SMB share, and let the DPM, is a DPM storage is again a VHD, so that VHD right. Files are going to be in the remote file share.
Okay.
Hey. One of the questions, well, the question I have is, a while ago, DPM used to be able to do bare metal recoveries and restores with clients.
Yes.
Is that ever coming back? Because that's a big hole in the backup strategy that I have, not being able to do a bare metal recovery on a client machine.
On a client machine. We haven't brought that back. We can certainly take that up. But one question I have, maybe I'm missing here. We do have the bare metal backup and restore capability. It's just that a client do not have it. Is that your concern? Okay.
Yeah, servers is not a problem. It's just
okay.
The client.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no at this point, but I can certainly take it as a...
Just to follow up on that, we have the ability to back up most of the client data, right? And in most cases, a client recovery would entail, you know, copying back the user data itself. So I'm a little concerned about what exactly you're talking about when you...
Well, the scenario I have is where I've got a client machine where a disk just crashes or whatever, and I want to restore exactly what was there, there are other backup solutions where I can do exactly that. DPM 2007, I believe, had that capability as well. It went away with 2010, not there with 2012, not with 2012 SP1, and I'm wondering, is it ever coming back?
Okay, so in R2, we don't have that capability. I will probably not be able to give you an answer about what we're going to do in the future. But just to add to that, I think leaving aside the applications, all user data is recoverable because you can protect that as a client workload. So the only real difference that you would notice would be that you will not be able to restore applications that the user had on his client machine, but all application data, right, can be restored. Now, most applications would allow you to actually reinstall themselves and then point to whatever data is available and restore the application state. That's one way you can currently work around the existing scenario that you have.
I actually have something.
The pain there is when you've got 50 or 100 applications that you have to restore.
Well, I agree. Yeah.
So I actually have a solution for you. Granted, right now, within the product team and what they're saying, you're not able to do it native within the tool. But within the solution, you can most definitely do exactly what you're asking for through Orchestrator, right? Where you can have it use WDS to do a bare metal restore. You can have it go in so that that runbook can plug in and then create, just the way that I had this automation provisioning process, you can have it so that WDS or SCCM, whatever you have, if you have another System Center product, if you don't, enable WDS to be able to initiate that bare metal recovery backup so that you can go ahead and restore those services on there.
Okay.
Most certainly. Yes, you can.
Okay.
Great question.
Yeah, the way I've sort of got it working now is I basically just install the backup protection agent module for the client system as a server. And then when I try to back up the system disk, it says, oh, you want to do the bare metal system state as well, which, of course, is not there because Windows backup isn't there.
Sure.
I understand all that. That gets me most of the way there. But
right. It's
just I'm not really 100% sure of what I'm missing.
Right. So this will definitely allow you to get to that from a bare metal state, at least into an automated process, and then you can do the DPM recovery on that. Great question, by the way. Any questions around self-service? Any questions around other capabilities that you need?
Go ahead. Do you guys have something for longer-term storage, like 7 years, to disk that doesn't require VTL or tape?
We are not planning to do that. But we are thinking of putting it in the Azure as a way to do it. Any reason why you are looking for only for the disk, not to the?
Just longer-term storage that doesn't require like a VTL software or appliance or actual tapes, but just to extend the disk storage to 6 years, 7 years.
Uh-huh.
But you're saying Azure can?
Not yet. Right now, we can back up to Azure for 120 days.
120?
But, yeah. Do you see this as an alternative solution that taking it to Azure is the right way for you?
It depends. There might be Canadian requirements to keep the data in Canada.
Yes, okay, good. Just want to let you know, folks, right, even though when you're storing the data on Azure, it's completely encrypted. You own the passphrase, and that's covered by you. And unless you have provided the passphrase, we cannot recover the data. And even if something gets hacked into Azure, hopefully it never, your data is secure there because we are encrypting it.
Any other questions?
Yeah. We're just starting to deploy Azure IIS VMs. Do you recommend a DPM server in Azure to do the backups, to minimize the WAN traffic, essentially?
Sure. Yes, we are actually internally working on a paper that publishers saying, how do you get there? Basically, you have a IIS VM that has DPM running, as you rightly pointed,
right. And
they're all grouped together in a AD, and then you deploy a agent inside those IIS VMs, other IIS VMs, like maybe you have SQL workload, SharePoint workload, and you can protect them with that Azure integration, and DPM wouldn't even know that. Obviously, we had to worry about, does the IIS VM provide me enough network bandwidth, storage IOPS, all those things come into the play, but it should be doable. We are still trying to prototype and make sure that it's working fine, but I think that's a good way to go.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to add something for you that if you are start deploying on Azure, come attend to my session about monitoring Azure Cloud and EC2. We'll be also talking about monitoring your Azure workload on Azure itself, because then
you
measure that.
You have a talk later?
Or? We have a presentation tomorrow at 5 o'clock between me and Igor from VIA Code and Chris Sampson from Microsoft.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I was monitoring Azure and EC2 from same place.
So you mentioned that you could back up 4,000 VM, 64 nodes. So how do you back up 4,000 VMs, and what is the duration? So are you taking the snapshot for one VM at a time, or how do you optimize that?
Right. So yes, we are still taking the snapshot. Okay, so the question is, we have 4,000 VMs being protected from a 64-node cluster using 5 DPM servers, because single DPM server can take 800 VMs. Are you taking snapshots single VM at a time or multiple VMs? We are still taking single snapshot at a time. And but remember, the snapshot takes only a minute or minute and a half. But the overhead penalty that we have to do the copy and all those things are a little bit higher. But if you, depending on your deployment, you can say, you know, I'm going to provide only 4 VMs per CSV volume. Then your penalty, IO penalty, and the impact on the other VMs will come lower, because your CSV is lower and you can still complete your backup. Now, we are saying that 5 DPM servers are going to be there, and things should work fine as long as you configure it properly. And we have written papers on the various deployments, you know, Hyper-V, remote SMB, deduplication. Please go to the blog, DPM blog. There is a lot of articles that we have written. And actually, we are going to publish an article that talks about, when you are protecting such a big cluster, what are the things that you have to worry about? You know, there are various nitty-gritty details that you have to know about. And we'll be publishing that blog in next week or so. So look at that blog when you're actually protecting that cluster. That will give you right guidance in that path.
Another additional question is, you include multiple VMs into single snapshot?
So the question is, are we planning to go to the mode of where multiple VMs can be taken in single snapshot? Maybe that's the way to go, but I don't know if we are changing that. Not in R2, but we can certainly think about that. That seems to be a good segue for us to expanding the capability, but we don't know yet.
I just wanted to clarify, so I can't use Azure backups as a long-term protection?
Right now, it's only 120 days, but we do understand this is a requirement, and we are considering for expanding into that. Our ultimate goal is that you take your offsite backup as simple as possible. You don't need to worry about managing the tapes or DPMs and all those things. Rather, just take it to Azure and then keep it there, and that's your offsite backup capability. So that's our long-term strategy. But right now, we are at just 120 days is the situation we are in.
So you mentioned the long-term strategy as Azure. So many providers who give the offsite backup, they have the option of offline shipping of your data. Let's say if I lost my data center, do I have that option in Azure? Will you ship me on a hard drive or any other media data if I need it, because it could be like terabytes of data?
So if I'm understanding right, you are saying your question is whether initial protection can be done offline or initial recovery done offline?
Recovery. Probably when I start that, I have my own site, right? So I don't worry if like a week later I have complete backup there.
Okay.
But let's say I have a disaster on my data center. Mm-hmm. Now I have to restore it in a days.
Right.
And if I have a terabyte of data and I have like T1 line, I'm doomed.
I think this is a good question. I think that makes sense, right? So I'll take up this with our Azure team and make sure that they have some answer, because this has to come from the Azure side of it, and we have to build on top of it. So yes, I'll take this as an input.
That would be only my concern with the Azure long-term backup, because restoration part is what's a question when you're having that offline.
Point well taken. Yep, agreed. So I'll take this up with it. Obviously, we have to build along with Azure, so we'll certainly take that as input. Thanks for bringing up such a good point. Yes.
Sorry, last question for me. Will the Hyper-V backups contend or fight with the Hyper-V replication?
So your question is, will it interfere with the Hyper-V replication, right? A VM backup do not interfere with the VM replication because the way replication is done on a log shipping mechanism that doesn't interfere with the snapshotting mechanism that we are using. And even the replication can do snapshotting every 1 hour or so, even if there is a conflict at the time, we do have the retrain, right? You know, as one of the slides that I talked about, auto healing capability. So if that VM snapshotting fails, it will automatically retrain and make sure that it is working fine.
More questions?
Yeah, guys, I mean, we have the program managers in the room. Please feel free to come up and ask super hyper-technical questions if you'd like, or other questions around solutions that you'd like to, you know, kind of see with Orchestrator or automation. That's what the session's definitely focused towards, so please feel free to ask.
Let me ask you a question. So show hands, how many Hyper-V nodes you guys have? Who has 64 nodes on Hyper-V? So who has 50?
Okay, good.
Show me.
We'd certainly would love to talk to you.
Awesome. And who has 50? I'll go for 40. Awesome. I'll go cool. For 30. Beautiful. I'll go for 20. Who has one?
Awesome.
Awesome. So I believe there is a value from what we have shown today with the scale out DPM. Do we agree on that? So, do you see, guys, any value of protecting or making DPM today to back up Linux? Who's running on Linux machines today?
Cool.
Are these on VMware or Hyper-V?
Good. So, now you can back them up without bringing them offline. I think that's where Islam is going.
So I believe actually now the voice actually went straight to Nila, because actually we had a lot of demand from this from when we see customers. And we go transmit the message to them and say, guys, we need to have this backed up, and they have made it happen. So give them applause for me. Believe me, in the MVP summit, we are really hard on them. So that's why we get things happening.
I just wanted to see if there's any demo or put a request in for more of the self-service portal workloads.
Sure. Yeah.
Examples would be single file restore, emails, attachments in emails, that sort of thing, in a self-service model.
Absolutely. We could definitely show you those. So for the demo environment that we have kind of localized or just built out for this session, I could show you exactly how we do that. But for getting the demo working, I could definitely give you contact information, and we could provide that demo to you. So if you want to switch over.
Done, sir.
Oh. Very nice. Thank you. We do have recovery.
A question.
Yes.
Well, this is a technical question, so you might go with the demo first.
Okay. Good.
So in the demonstration, basically what we do is we'd say, all right, we already have VMs that are backed up. So the VM that we were showing you initially that we backed up with, 47 for the deployment process and the deployment, we're going to actually, and I'm so excited that I can use the same exact demo to restore it on the other end too. We're going to show you how we can restore the same exact VM back in after the VM has been deleted from Hyper-V to another host. So as an example, same thing you can do for the SQL or Exchange side. But yes, there is an automation that's written for that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to remove this virtual machine off of the hypervisor. So I'm going to go ahead and delete it. And the VM is now gone. So as a part of the recovery process, what we're going to do is come into Service Manager and say, I want to request an automated restore. And for this automated restore process, I want to go to, what's the name of the VM that we wanted to restore? We said, it was Linux 47. Thank you.
And we wanted to, we selected Platinum Protection for this. And we want to replace it back on the same host, or you can choose a different host. For purposes of this example, we deleted it off of one. We'll just restore it right back to one. Say next. And we'll submit this process. Now, in this process, Orchestrator will take the components that I've actually put in here. You can actually put approval processes behind this, right? Because that's the biggest concern for a backup administrator is, well, if people are going to constantly keep restoring in my environment, or they're going to constantly keep backing up in my environment, I want to be able to at least approve or deny what they're going to back up or restore.
I don't like that. I like to keep restoring left or right.
Well, you could tell Islam's environment has a ton of storage, and he's doing something very different. We all want to work for that environment. So Linux 47 should appear here shortly, and it's going to go through the orchestration process. So in the restore, I'm going to go to recovery, and you can see the recovery process has started. So it's getting that recovery point. It's going through this, and in a few minutes, Linux 47 should appear back on host one and have that through self-service. So with the proper approval, so there it is. Hey, look at that.
So all of this is done by the application administrator himself. Backup
yes.
admin is not involved in this.
The backup process. Admin, so guys, when you guys back up 50 virtual machines, or when you back up 100 or even 5 or 2 or 3 or restore them, you're getting these one-off scenarios that are just becoming a pain point, right? And the one-off scenarios are the ones that you want to automate. Granted, when you're doing 50 or 100, you can automate those, but your chances are for the larger workloads, you want to focus on them. You want to go ahead and make sure that you have all the proper retention policies and those things covered. But for the small one-off VM restore, one-off file restore, one-off mailbox restore, those are the things that are pressure points. And with this self-service concept, you can actually take it, fill it in, have the administrator say, or have the application admin say, this is what I want restored, this is where I want it. Go ahead and please approve this or deny this. Based on your approval, it'll automatically kickstart this process, which then in turn restored Linux 47.
So I mean, as Anur is saying, actually, this is a starting point, but can it very much add on the run book, you know, you go more granular on what you want to, on at what date you want to restore and so on.
Yes.
Right? So it's fully customizable. So.
Absolutely.
By the way, this demo, we have done this yesterday. Cook it.
We just cooked this up yesterday. To show you guys how easy it is to do this from an orchestrator perspective, for those of you guys that have never used Orchestrator, you have integration packs on the right-hand side. So Data Protection Manager has its integration packs. You have one for Azure as well. Your Data Protection Manager integration pack allows you to go ahead and drag and drop any one of these items on the surface. So if I wanted to get a recovery point, I drag and drop it on the surface, double-click it, and then fill out the information as to how I want this to happen. Same thing for initialized data. It's going in there. You're connecting the dots, and you're just linking things up. It's a workflow that's happening. And behind that workflow, you're putting contextual questions that will enable your business or your business users to be able to consume that service. So the contextual questions happen on the service manager side. And I'll show you how easy it is to actually put this in on the service manager side. And this is the admin interface that I'm going to log into on the service manager side. So that admin interface is right here. I'd go into the library and the service catalog and go to that particular request offering that's there. And in that publish request offering, I'd say, here's my VM restore request. And it's just a matter of changing text and putting those questions in there so that the answers to those questions are passed along as strings to the automation process. So the questions are right here. Here's the user prompts. I can go ahead and add a couple of key items in here if I want to. So once I go ahead and I add these questions in here, the user now has a form. You don't have to know SharePoint to do this. You don't have to know any one of the other configurations to do this. You just have to know how to go in here. I can train an administrator how to do this in 5 minutes. Go in here, put the key contextual questions that are relevant to your business, that are relevant to your compliance needs, that are relevant to your environment. Once you put these in here, you have the option whether you want to give them a drop-down list, a date and a time. I can even put in what date would you like this by. And then I'm going to say I want this to be a date prompt. And if I choose OK here, and if I map the prompt, actually, it's asking me to map the prompt. And I'll say...
I don't want to cut you, just actually to get the other question here, if you don't mind.
Give me one moment. Sure. I just want to show this, because I think it's really important. So I'll say, here's the date. And I'll submit this. Now, on my prompt, it's automatically going to go change on the SharePoint portal. I don't need to do anything here from a additional request offering perspective. Okay. I'm on the TechEd portal or the request offering. What day would you like this by?
Okay, this is sort of a migration question for DPM, not necessarily related to this session in particular. I just recently decided to migrate from 2012 to 2012 SP1. In the existing domain, I've got Active Directory, SQL Server, Exchange, you know, the usual collection of stuff. Everything went pretty well, except when I actually started to try to... actually get the projection group set up and going. And what I noticed was most of the members backed up fine, but a lot of the system state members were getting replica as inconsistent errors. And it was fairly random as far as which ones would get it and which ones wouldn't. And it might be that the system drive on that system would get backed up fine and backed up successfully, but it's just the system state information wouldn't get backed up. And I would try doing the consistency checks multiple times. Sometimes they would work, sometimes it wouldn't, but usually I'd wind up with that that failure.
Okay. We are not too sure about that, but I'll work with you offline and see what's okay. going on there. That is not expected behavior. It should be working seamlessly, right? Yeah. So I'll work with you offline on that
okay.
and see what's going on there.
Thank you guys so much for attending the session. And, you know, we'd love your feedback. We'd love to get, you know, your thoughts. And if you guys can fill out an evaluation process for us, we'd greatly appreciate it. This would help us do more technical deep dives and questions and answers and tips and tricks in the future events. So thank you guys so much for joining the session, and we look forward to seeing you guys.
Just one more thing. I think Anur and I are also presenting tomorrow a session about SQL Server and on virtual environment and with System Center. So we'll talk about everything, talk about SQL Server and including also DPM. So please join us tomorrow. I believe in the morning, right? That's in the morning session. So that will be great to get your feedback too.
We look forward to seeing you guys around. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.